Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I hope everybody's having a great day. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Money in the Morning with Dr. Boyce. It is so good to see you. And we are here to become financially conscious and financially aware. And our goal every morning is to get together and really process and meditate economics in different ways and creative ways. All right. So anyway, so here's something that I wanted to mention is that I'm actually I didn't realize I had two guests in a row scheduled, but these individuals are worthy of this. Our guests should be here in any moment. Yesterday we had Andre C. Hatchett, who is going to actually join the Black Business School faculty in an academy for mobile notaries that we wanted to create, and he's going to be doing something this weekend. I sent you all a link to join Andre's event on Friday, and also Dr. Lanae Javett is going to be the guest now. Dr. Javett is a monetization strategist, and in case you're not sure what that means, it just means that she is good at helping you figure out ways to make more money, whether you have a business or a side hustle, things like that. One of the things that people don't really process, from a consciousness standpoint when it comes to economics is that really parts of your life can be monetized. There's some areas of your life where just a little shift in how you sort of view that special talent or special skill that you have or whatever can really make a big difference in your economic outcomes. And so Dr. Javett's gonna help us with that. And I heard a little ding, so I think that that is her. How you doing, Lene? Can you hear me? Oh, it looks like you are muted, ma'am.
I'm unmuted now. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you. Yeah, I was just talking to everybody about how sometimes just like a little monetization in your life can make a big difference. You know, how sort of realizing like, oh, wait, there's money over here, or oh, yeah, I could have turned that into money can just literally change a person's life. And how a lot of us just aren't conscious of that. Like, I don't know. What are your thoughts? Just to start there.
Life be life. And so we're not always thinking about the money.
Yeah. Well, you
Once
know,
life gets started, can you hear me okay?
yeah, I can hear you. Please go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna turn you up. I can't hear you. Maybe it's me. Yeah, life be life. And sometimes, and so although we're always money conscious and we're thinking about money and we want to make money, we're not always thinking about what's required to take to actually make the money. We're not always in the right rooms to make the money. We don't have the right associations to make the money. We're not having the right conversations to make the money.
Yeah, you know, I think you know what I think about? I think about one student in the Black Business School, and I knew about this student because she was a friend of my wife. And I'd never met the woman or anything, but she took one of our classes, and I didn't even know she'd taken it was our entrepreneurship class, Black Money 103. And she was in class, and one of the simple things that I think maybe I had mentioned in a video or something, is I said, well, you know, if you're good at something, like the Joker, do you remember the Joker in Batman where he said, if you're ever good at something, what did he say? What did he say? He said, if you're ever good at something, don't do it for free. Anybody remember that? And so I said, look, if you're good at something and you have something that people want, that's demand. And that's what companies pay attention to. What do people demand? And how do you add value, solve a problem, et cetera? And what she realized was she thought about her CMOS, and she would make the CMOS, and she would take it to work, and everybody loved her CMOS. Everybody just would be, hey girl, you gonna make some more CMOS, whatever. So she said, oh, you know, what if I just put a little price tag on it, you know, $10, 15, 20, whatever. That lady sold so much CMOS. Like she quit her job, her son quit his job, her husband quit his job, and all they do is sit in the kitchen all day and make CMOS all day. And my wife and I buy it, you know, like it'll be in the refrigerator. But it was like, oh, that's her CMOS, right? So it's kind of like just hitting that little switch made a big difference in her life, where a lot of us, I think, don't understand that sometimes you're standing right next to the money. This is why we have financial consciousness and awareness. Like the money's right next to you, the money's standing there. Like, hey, I'm here, and you're not even looking. Like almost like being on a bus and you're sitting next to somebody, and you never look to your left. So you know, and you never realize like you're standing next to Denzel Washington. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and then you just turn, you're like, oh, you know. So anyway, have you seen stuff like that where like a little pivot, like made a big difference for people?
Yeah, it's like taking your blinders off. So when I say life be life, and it's like we're walking through life, almost looking at our cell phone. So our head is down, we're trying to get through the day-to-day task, and money is passing us on both sides. Opportunity is passing us on both sides. And unless you are strategic or conscious about, let me look up and take an active role in my life. And that's kind of when you start thinking about things like, let me try this. I have this talent, I have this skill, I have something that I'm good at. Let me try my hand at it. Let me see if I can monetize it. Can I make money from it? And then not be afraid to step out and do it. Because I, in my opinion, as a Black people, we are so resilient. We are so talented. We are so skilled. Everybody wants to be like us, except for us sometimes. Like we don't realize the talent and the skill that we have. Everybody has something that somebody has said, you make the best, you do the best. They ask you a question 5 times, but we don't recognize that as being a skill or a talent that we have, and we'll dim it. But really, there's something that everybody does that's good. So literally anybody can have a side hustle because there's a talent, a skill, a knowledge, even an experience that you have been through that somebody else wants to know about so that they can do, and they'll pay you for it. But we don't think about it that way.
It's almost like it's maybe a self-esteem issue, right? Like we're extremely good at making money for other people, and we take that pride in serving others, right? And helping others to achieve their goals and build whatever they're building. And I don't know if we always think about that with ourselves. I know last night when we did our Powernomics class that we do every Wednesday, I was talking about that. I think there was a point where we were reiterating a previous discussion where the NBA WNBA star Angel Reese had bought this really nice Mercedes, and there was all this controversy like, oh, she's just wasting her money, whatever. I didn't care about that. I think that that's fine. You know, she's probably got plenty of money and everything. But I said, now think about that though. Why would you go and spend your money on something like that? Well, part of the reason we might buy something is because it makes us feel better, right? This is where you got to be careful about spending because there's a psychological connection between buying a luxury item and just feeling better about yourself. And I think that as Black people, because that self-esteem is not always there, we buy the luxury stuff because it's like, oh, now look at me, I got Gucci. Now look at me, I got a Benz. Now look at me, you know, I got this degree from this big white university, right? And it's like our self-esteem's like rising as a result of all these very expensive things that we've spent money on. But I said, you know, I said, so let's talk about that Mercedes from a different perspective. I said, let's go back to the beginning. Let's look at the origin of the Mercedes company, right? So I showed them this picture of this ugly looking like motorized tricycle, right? And you know what it was, Lene? It was the first automobile ever created. And it was created by a guy named Carl Benz. Benz, right? And yeah, he invented the first automobile. And all it was, they called it a horseless carriage. It was basically, it looked like a big tricycle. It had this stupid, ugly little handle. It looked dangerous as hell. You ain't in it, it wasn't going nowhere. It probably went 50 yards. And I said, this is where all this began. This company has very humble beginnings, and now, just a couple generations later, 3 generations later, they're making $170 billion a year, right? So I said, these people ain't no better than you, right? And so instead of just increasing your self-esteem through purchasing consumer goods, maybe we can also sort of, I guess, elevate our self-esteem by building things and creating things for ourselves. Right? Like the Benz family name is no more important than your family name. The difference is though, he poured into his family name. He could, you know, because remember the if he had spent all his time looking for a job, he never would have started Mercedes-Benz. If he spent all his time saying, well, I'm not gonna invest in trying to develop this German engineering, I'm gonna go and spend my money buying stuff that's gonna make me feel better about myself. Do you see what I mean? So rather than consuming, he was investing. Rather than chasing, he was building right where he stood. And that makes and when you do that, that makes people chase you. That makes people see the value in you. That makes you see the value in yourself. That was a long-winded story. I hope it was worthwhile. But give me your thoughts on that. I don't even have a question.
No, I love that concept of investing in ourselves. I don't think we do it enough. I love even just the Ben story. I think it was great and amazing. I think that there's rampant imposter syndrome running around. It's easier to build for someone else because There's no risk involved. There's no fear involved. But what I would say, what I think I would say is everything that myself and probably you can attest to too, and probably in the comments, you guys can attest to too, the things that you stepped out and did in fear or that you took a risk on had the highest value return, right? Whether it's going back to school, and you didn't know if you could, whether it was going back and getting a job or asking for more money or a relationship, the things that we step out in and we invest in and we put our time and our energy and our heart into, they pay us the most. And I think that that's what that imposter syndrome is and what that does to us. We know, you know, that your name means something. You know that you have a wealth in your brain. You know that you have a talent and a skill. You know it. Like we innately know it, but we don't make the investment, which is why we do the investment in the tangible things. It's easier to make a tangible investment to show outwardly, this is what I'm worth, opposed to let me use my talent, let me use my skill, let me use my brain and invest into that, because that's the unknown. The unknown is harder to take a risk in. Going out and buying a nice fancy car that other people see and it's like, oh, this is a nice car, this is beautiful, you must be doing well. That's the easy thing, because people don't know what's happening in your house. They don't know what's going on in your brain. They don't know how you're feeling. And so it's a momentary, spontaneous at the moment gratification, but it's not long term. The investment that we make in ourselves, in our side hustles, in our businesses, in our family, in our finances, in our stocks, that's long term. But long term investments is the unknown, and that's what scares us, I think. We don't know how it's going to turn out.
I love that, and I agree. I think that dealing with that unknown is so important, and really, and first of all, everybody who just came in, I'm talking to Dr. Lanae Javett. She is a monetization strategist, and I'm honored to say that she is joining us on the faculty in the Black Business School. She's just a badass Black woman, and as you know, we love to work with smart Black people. And you might have known her because actually Lene has the distinction of being the person who helped me plan the very first all Black National Convention. And you remember that? Yeah, I called her up, and I called her because she's solid. She's a solid, just a solid person. And I called her, and I did because I had this. The convention came to me like it literally in a dream. I don't know if I've ever told, have I ever told you that story, Lene, where it came from?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, it came to me in a dream. I was asleep in Atlanta, and in my in my dream, I just said, "You need to have a convention. You need to call it the All Black National Convention." And I was like, oh, that's it. I got the name. I know what I want to do. So I called Lene and I'm like, yeah, I want to do this convention. Call it the All Black National Convention. I want to do it in like 4 weeks or something. I don't remember. It was some short little time span, which was insane. And she really like helped pull it off. I mean, she really, in fact, Lene ran the damn thing. Like I was there. I did some stuff. Lene ran. Remember you were telling me like, because you were measuring your steps. And you were like, I took 20,000 steps today.
At 20,000 steps in one day. I was like, oh my gosh. But that was back when it was like just me and you running the whole, I mean, you were on the stage. It was just literally me. I don't even know. I think we had like a handful of volunteers. Like, I don't know how we put that together, but people still talk about that first one to this
Yeah.
day. Like, that was an amazing experience. That was the first conference I ever put on. That was the first event I ever stepped into in that kind of capacity. I've gone on to do many more, but that was just an amazing experience. Like, I'll always remember that. Like, that was, we had a good time. That's grassroots.
To me, you're legendary in that way, and you made Black history with that. I mean, so let me tell y'all that first of all, yeah, that was an amazing convention, and I remember, David Banner and Killer Mike and those guys coming down and just doing a great job, and then we had a lot of smart scholars and thinkers and all kinds of people, and it just felt powerful. It was at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And here we are now. I think what we're going on our ninth convention coming up this year in Lombard, Illinois, which is right outside Chicago. It's October 25th through the 27th. If you guys would like to come in, and the first one was 2015. So 2025 will be our 10-year anniversary of the convention. So I just want to publicly say thank you for being there, like sort of running with me on my crazy ideas. My tip to anybody out there that has like any sort of what you might call a vision for your life or this purpose that you want to pursue, find solid people that will run with you to your crazy vision and believe in it and trust it, and support that, you know. And Lene's been one of those people, and so I just appreciate you very much. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. So do you remember, do you know this? I have fact for you. Do you know that, or do you remember the Black Business School? Do you remember when the Black Business School was an idea? You remember I got the teachable, I did the research, I set up the first class. Like, I've been around since even before the Black Business School. I bought the domain on HostGator that day.
No way. Are you
That
serious?
teachable and set it up, put the first class in there.
That is so crazy. You know, yeah, let me tell y'all how amazing Lene is, right? This is why I respect this lady so much. The way she and I got to know each other was that you had done something where you wanted to raise $10,000 in 30 days for your business, because you wanted to leave the job and become independent, and you were determined to do it. And you went through all the ups and downs and all the stress of it all, and you pulled it off. You raised $10,000 in 30 days. And I remember being really impressed by that, because Linnea is an executioner. Like, she'll get stuff done. She can lay out the process. She's just on it, right? And so I would encourage anybody, I mean, really, it's, you know, 100% serious. If you're looking in terms of good mentorship or someone that can really show you how to really know the difference between a talker and a doer. Right. You know, or we all are. A lot of us spend time talking and then we don't do anything. Right. And bringing the best of ourselves. Like, I would encourage you to pay attention to how Lene operates. So there's that. So anyway, all right, enough of all that stuff. But yeah, so let me ask you this. When you and I were talking this morning about boiling frogs. Oh, and by the way, if anybody wants to see that first Mercedes, I don't know, Lene, can you see that picture?
Hold on, it's coming up. Oh my goodness.
It's not a Mercedes. It wasn't called a Mercedes. It was just called a horseless carriage. That's the very first Benz. And you see this thing here, that's supposed to be the steering wheel, and it's really this little handle, and you can imagine somebody trying to steer the car with that. And there's an engine on the back, and you can sit there, and I guess your girlfriend could sit next to you or boyfriend, and they're probably going to fall out, you know, when you try to turn. And yeah, so that was the very first thing. That's where Mercedes started. Like, that's Carl Benz when he invented that, right? So anyway, so you and I were talking today about boiling frogs, and I think I said something to you, like, I was sort of explaining what I've seen with a lot of the students. I said I think a lot of our people are kind of like the frog that I assume you all have heard this story. Maybe you haven't, but there's the whole story that that if you put a frog in hot boiling water, he's going to jump out because it's just too hot. And but they said the other trick you can do, though, is you could put the frog in cool water, and where he gets comfortable, and then you just slowly raise the temperature. And even though the frog feels the water getting hotter and he's feeling clearly uncomfortable and he's get inching closer to death, the frog apparently will not move. He'll just sit there and he'll just die in the boiling pot. And I said, I think that a lot of our people are like that little boiling frog. You know, we go the comfortable route, you know, the comfortable route, like, go to school, get a good job, go to work every day, you know, and then come home, go to work, come home, go to bed, go to work, come home, go to bed. And then eventually you die. They drop you off at the cemetery and move on. And I wonder what happens in terms of us getting so comfortable in our lives, even though we know we don't like where we are. We don't like the situation we're in. We don't like the money that we make. We feel like we should be living a better life. We should be doing something closer to our purpose. I think there's absolute torture to spend the bulk of your time doing something that's not even connected to your purpose. What's the difference? Like, what causes us not to take action? And I'd like to get your thoughts on that, Lene. Well, what do you think happens that leads us to literally sit there in that uncomfortable situation and just let it just kind of deteriorate us until all of our opportunities are gone and we just grow old and die?
Different from this frog, so the same frog analogy, but as human beings, I think that life, bills, kids, relationship, eating starts to take a priority. And the more that that takes a priority, our wants, our desires, our dreams, our ambitions start to become, we start to sidestep them. And although we have these desires and these wants and these things that we want to do, we get comfortable sitting in survival mode. because to do anything outside of surviving means we have to risk something. I'm coaching a young girl right now who is starting a business, and she's starting to feel it. She just left her job. She has a daughter in private school. She ain't got her nails done no more. She just showed me her toes the other day, and she's thinking about going back to what was comfortable because this is hard. It's hard to do this over here. But she just got a $10,000 contract right before she was about to get back into the comfortable water. It worked out, but we don't always see through the uncomfortableness to get to what we want. It's easier to stay in the comfortable. It's easier to stay at this job that I know is going to pay me because I got my PTO. It's easier to stay in a loveless marriage because if I get out there, I don't know if somebody else, if I'm going to find somebody else, is going to be better than this person. It's easier to hold on to our dollars than to invest it in the stock market because I don't know what's going to happen with this presidential election. It's easier to control the things that we think we're controlling than to actually jump out of the pot and say, let me figure this thing out. Let me try to find another route. Let me be uncomfortable for a little bit to get to where I want to be. It's easier, but it's not more prosperous. It's not happier. It's not better. You're never going to get to the proverbial promised land. You're not going to build legacy. You're not going to create wealth, but it'll be easier and it'll be comfortable.
Interesting. They always say that your wildest dreams live right outside your comfort zone. And I think that if we can have strategies to convince ourselves to take action, that would probably be the pathway to really realizing a lot of our dreams. Because habits are powerful. This was in fact that was one of the reasons why I created this financial consciousness class, is because I even myself, I was like, gosh, I don't know if I want to commit to coming in here every single day like this, But once I started, it became a new habit. Now I feel like I should do it. You know what I mean? It feels natural. But in the beginning, it was like, oh gosh, every single day, Or like when I went to the gym this morning at 5 a.m., it was hard because I hadn't done it for a week. I kind of taken some time off. I kind of fallen off the wagon. And so I just started noticing consciously how, the habits that you form, you kind of get in these zones, and it's hard to get out of that zone into a new zone. So there's a discomfort to switching back to a new zone or switching to a better zone. But once you do it, it just becomes a way of life, right? So if I'm comfortable here, it's like, okay, I've got my regular little life and job and whatever else that I have. But if I just say, you know what, let me just commit 30 days or 60 days to going in a different direction, what you'll find is you'll just have a whole new way of doing things, or you'll be exposed to new possibilities that you hadn't thought about, or in a way, in fact, the first time I started observing this was when I was like 8, 19 or 20. Love is tough. Love is really complicated and hard and just confusing when you're 19 years old. And I remember noticing that when I was in love with a girl, it's like you cannot imagine your life without that person. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you just literally, you cannot even fathom not like it. The thought of them being with anybody else makes you jealous, and the thought of being without them is like, oh my God, I can't imagine that. But then what happens, right? Like let's say they just dump you, like get out of here, right? And you're like, oh my God, my life is falling apart. Oh, my world's coming to an end. Then about, I don't know, a couple months later,
Be
meet
somebody
somebody
else.
else, you move on, and then 6 months in, you're like, oh, that's Black history. I ain't even thinking about that girl no more. And so seeing that was like it kind of made me think about how we can sometimes form that relationship with our lives. We fall in love with our lives, the lives that we have, what we're used to. And sometimes it just takes a little nudge to push us into a new comfort zone, right? So literally when I started thinking that way, just going back to the analogy with the relationships, I remember just sitting here thinking, I am so appreciative, that there's one girl I think about, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so happy that she dumped me. Because if she had not dumped me, I'd still be with that terrible person. I wouldn't have met my wife. Right. So the here's the thing. In my view, the life of your dreams is out there. If you can't break up with your current life, then you'll never get to meet that life. You know, and how sad would that be for you to die without you having connected to your soul or your soulmate or whatever it is, right? Your soul is out there. You know, you doing the work that you are connected to, that you care about, pursuing your purpose, that's out there somewhere. That reality is out there. And I encourage you to go pursue that. So, Lene, let me read this to you. Oh, you said you had something to say?
I was about to do a shame. This is not a shameless plug, but it is a shameless plug. I'm looking at my book right now. I have a chapter here that says, "Stop cheating with your past. You can't commit to your future if your
Ooh.
past is your side chick."
Oh no. Oh no.
I see that a lot. We can't get to the future because we keep going backwards. We keep revisiting the past. We keep revisiting what hurt us. We lost money. The business didn't work. They didn't give me the job. I didn't get the promotion. I didn't lose the weight. I gained it back. We keep living in the past. And so we can't ever get to the future because we're so worried about the past or the breakup or the hurt or the pain or the loss that we just get, that's what makes us get stuck and get comfortable. The hurt, the pain, the
Ooh.
frustration, the what didn't work, the what if, the what. Okay, like we gotta move forward. We gotta move forward. You can't keep cheating with this side chick. The side chick is the past. Build a future. Step
Ooh.
out of faith. You can make whatever you want. It doesn't have to be that. Like what you were saying a minute ago about the strategy. The thing that I see that people, the mistakes that I see people make is planning versus strategy and really understanding the difference between a plan and a strategy. When you, whether they say when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I say if you fail. If you don't have a plan that has a strategy attached to it, you're still going to fail. So just having a plan is not enough. You planned to do good in this relationship and it didn't work. You planned to lose weight, you did, and you gained it back. Planning is cool, but if you don't have a strategy to reinforce that plan, you just end up stuck or you end up in the same way. A strategy, so a plan is a to-do list. And a to-do list is great. But if you don't put actions up under each one of those to-dos or that's going to tell you how you're going to do it and how you're going to achieve it and when, it's for naught. Like a lot of times we don't talk about strategy. And I like your 200-year plan for the family. That's a strategy. What does it look like for you and your legacy and your the generations that come after you for the next 200 years? But do you do that in everything? What does it look like for your finances? For the next 7 years, for the next 15 years, something that's a little bit more tangible to where you are right now. Does that look like investing in stocks? Does that look like buying a house? Does that look like upgrading your car? And if you once you say what it is, how do you do that? If it looks like buying stocks, what's the first thing you need? So you can't just say, I'm going to change my financial situation and I'm going to buy stocks. That's a plan, right? The strategy says, I'm going to buy stocks by April 30th, because I'm going to enroll in Dr. Boyce's class. Because after I enroll in that class, I'm going to buy this stock. And when I buy that stock, I'm going to make this investment. That's how you get stuff done. That's a strategy. If we have more of that, we can, it takes the unknown and makes it known. Like when you have a strategy, it's easier to go from being uncomfortable. It's easier to go from being comfortable to uncomfortable because you work through the unknown. If this happens, I'm gonna do that. If that doesn't work, I'm gonna do this. So you can't, I'm not gonna say you can't fail, but I am gonna say everything I've ever wanted to do, I've done.
Wow, I love that. Your past is your side chick, and you cheating with your side chick. That's what I'm saying. Your past is your baby daddy. Y'all had kids together, and those kids are still running around. You know because your past can be your side chick or your side piece or whatever. And it's also, I think the baby daddy baby mama analogy is good too, because sometimes the past has consequences, right? Sometimes we have choices in the past that might have led to the bad credit score, you know, the prison record, the student loans, right? All these other challenges that we have to overcome kind of moving forward. But I think overall, just that awareness and just kind of understanding that you have to make a choice goes a long way, right? Like I'm choosing to make sure that this is what I'm committed to, because I can tell you all, I can tell you how many times I have seen people blow really great opportunities because every time things got hard, they would run back to their past or run back to whatever they did before. Like they would, oh, I my business wasn't working out, so I took a job just for a little while so I could do whatever. But while they were distracted by the job, the business just do. Whatever momentum they had died. And then a year later, they say, "Hey, Dr. Boyce, I decided I want to do the business thing again." I'm like, "Yeah, well, you know, if you had been doing whatever you were doing a year ago and consistent with it, you'd be up here now. Now you're starting over again, you know, and you kind of have to pick, right?" And I would say, you know, I know that when I became an more of an entrepreneur, I realized I had to make a choice of what kind of a man I wanted to be. You know, am I gonna live life as, you know, as the employee that I was? Not to say there's anything wrong with being an employee. I'm not saying that at all, but that's what I was before when I was in Syracuse. Or do I want to live my life as a free black man? Living my life as a free black man required me to solve the same problems in different ways. Like when I was an employee, if I wanted more money, I would, you know, you would think about things like getting a second job, asking your boss to give you a raise, getting a better job. But when you are doing this as an independent, free black person or whatever you claim to be, you have to think of it in different ways. You have to say, okay, I need more money. Let me see. I can develop a product. I can do a sale. I can market better. I can form relationships that'll help me to expand my business opportunities, right? So there's just a whole different way of thinking. And I would encourage you, if your goal is to have some type of freedom, first off, you don't have to quit your job to monetize a piece of your life. So that's the first thing. So don't feel that this is pressure to say, if you got a job, you're a sucker, everybody's got to quit their job. You don't have to do that. But a lot of you, I know, you want to make extra money. You want to figure out ways to, you know, that extra $1,000, $2,000 a month will make a big deal. That's why I brought Andre Hatchett in here to talk about mobile notary stuff. That's why we do stuff in the Prime program with selling stock options. That's why Dr. Javed is here. She's a monetization expert, right? But then also, if you are a person that wants to monetize your life full time, I would encourage you to get with people that kind of want to do the same thing and encourage each other to form new habits. Because a lot of times when you're trying to run away from the plantation or run away from your old life, it's easier to run away as a group. You know, almost like when slaves, I think about when slaves were trying to leave the plantation, they were more likely to be successful in terms of getting the freedom if they left as a collective. Right? They can encourage each other, protect each other, you know, help each other figure things out. Whereas if you do it on your own, it can be a little bit tougher. And so if you want to know why we have events like the All Black National Convention or the Stock Options Summit, things like that, where we gather together, it's because that's where I want you to meet your fellow freedom fighters, if you want to call it that, other people that kind of understand what you're trying to do and why, and that can help you push you in that journey. Because I would say, Lene, that peer pressure is really big. Like there's just sort of having that collective of people that are going to hear your dream and support it, as opposed to that collective of people who are going to hear your dream and not understand it, criticize it, or just give you like even more emotional baggage to sort of carry around. What are your thoughts on that?
Critics. So they criticize Jesus. So I feel like if they're gonna criticize this the Savior, I'm a Christian, so I'm gonna say it. They're gonna criticize you, and they're gonna criticize you for less. If you chew your gum crazy, they might talk about you. If you walk across the street and out of the crosswalk, they're gonna talk about you. If your eyebrows is looking good on the live, they still gonna talk about you. Like they're gonna talk about you if you do good, they're gonna talk about it if you do bad. They're gonna talk about you if you're up, they're gonna talk about you if you're down. So you can't win for losing. So you might as well just get out here and do what you're gonna do. At the end of the day, nobody has to face you but you. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, and you have to look back on your life, what you did, what you didn't do, what you could have done, what you should have done, the chances that you didn't take, only you have to face you. None of your critics are going to be there. You're not even going to remember what they was talking about. And if you think about how life works, the older we get, when we look back at the things in our past, we question, why didn't we do this sooner? Why didn't I take that chance? Because with age comes wisdom. So wherever you are right now, if you apply the wisdom that you have gained in all your years and think about what you want going forward, That should be faith and motivation enough to be like, I can't be worried about what these critics is talking about. They ain't paid every one of my bills. They ain't held me back from nothing. They ain't helped me with nothing. Only me, only I'm responsible for what comes next. When I was working on that PhD, nobody was in here on the floor balled up with me crying because it was hurting and it was hard. Nobody was with me when my son was tripping. It was just me. And then when you get to the other side, hey, Dr. LaNature, congratulations, girl, I think you can do it. But you wasn't with me when I was doing it. Don't be worried about them critics. Just wait. They will turn into fans. Do what you got to do.
That's
Step
right.
out, and they will turn. I promise you, your critics will turn into fans if you do what you got to do.
All right, I love that. I love, yeah. I hear you. I hear you. Well, either they'll turn into fans or they'll just turn into bigger critics, right?
Either
And
or, but
yeah.
people get the game wrong. Who said that? If you got Cat Williams said, if you got five haters, you need to figure out how you can get 10 by the summer. Like, if
Yeah.
you got no haters, you ain't doing nothing. If they ain't talking, you're not doing nothing.
That's true.
And I'm not mad if we're on the same level. I tell people all the time, I'm not mad if we're on the same level. But when I next, if you want to hang out with me and kick with me, just be moving when I move. When I move, you move, just like that. Like, we can both get to the promised land. We can both move. If I learn something, I'm gonna tell it to you. If I learn something, then I'm gonna teach it to you. I always say, when I get to my top, my pinnacle, for me, when I get to that spot, if I look around and I don't see anybody that I know personally, then I didn't do it right. I'm not successful. So if you're not around people who want to see you win, who want to give you information, who want to help you with your strategy, who want to help you with your side hustle, who want to help you to win and to be prosperous, then you're not around the right kind of people. I don't want to get to the top by myself. That's a failure. That's why it's called a Black community. We need to commune. We need to all be on our road to the next level. And everybody's next level doesn't have to look the same.
Right on.
Start preaching. I'm gonna be quiet.
Amen. All right. All right. Well, you know what? I tell you what, that you've given me a lot to think about. And I can say for sure to everybody, I'm really excited and honored that Lene's working with us. And your joint or your work in the Black Business School begins May 10th. You're going to
Yes.
have a session. Did you want to talk more about that?
So one of my passions, well, not one of my big, so this is my biggest passion. I have a love for Black businesses. I have a love for Black entrepreneurship. I love it. My first educational thing was I wanted to do hair and I wanted to be a cosmetologist. So I went to school to be a cosmetologist, but I didn't really want to be behind the chair. I wanted to better understand the business of hair salons because I was tired of people eating fried chicken while they was doing my hair and taking a long time to do my hair. So I was like, what I realized about the the beauty industry was that either you're a stylist or you're an owner. But it's very rare that owners were good stylists. And it was really rare that stylists were good owners. So I was like, I'm going to go to school so that I can know how to do hair. So I'm a licensed cosmetologist. And then I was like, I want to go to school to be a business owner so I can change that industry, right? So I went to school, got my cosmetology degree, but I was a single mom. And clients don't want to hear, I got to be out of here at 5 o'clock because I got to pick my kid up. And they also don't want to hear, I can't come in on Saturdays because my kid got a baseball game. So that didn't work out too well for me. But I knew I wanted to impact business. Like, I always have had a love for business. And so, as you know, got my bachelor's in organizational innovation because I was like, if I'm not going to be my own CEO, I'm going to be the CEO of somebody's company. And then I got my MBA, then I got the PhD. But the way that the world looks at Black businesses has always bothered me. The stereotypes that are associated with Black business has always bothered me. And as I've been an entrepreneur now going on 11 years full time, I've better recognize why that is. And a lot of it is in our generations right now, a lot of people are first-time entrepreneurs, first-generation entrepreneurs. So when you take into consideration first-generation entrepreneur, lack of funding, lack of business knowledge, lack of business acumen, no homeboys, homegirls that do business, you out here on your own, you're struggling, you're trying to figure it out. So you're bumping your head all the way. And so when we and or the world come into your business, we be like, Black business suck. Black business don't know what to do. The Black business overcharge because we don't really know or understand what Black businesses are struggling with. We don't got no money. We do gotta charge more. We're buying lower volume, so we're paying more. Like, there's so many things that go into the reasons for why these stereotypes are associated with that. So my goal in life, my whole goal in life, is to rebuke, refute, help kill these stereotypes that are associated with Black entrepreneurship, Black-owned businesses. And I do that through coaching, through teaching, through helping Black businesses to develop a business, to have foundation, to understand strategy, to understand what it means to monetize opposed to just make money and have profit. That was a really long way of saying what I'm going to be talking about is how to prepare your product to be profitable. And it's not just from the perspective of how do I make money, but what is this product that I have in my hand? Who is it for? How should I best market it? How should I best put it together? Do I understand branding? Are my colors right? Is the name of my product, does this even make sense? Like a lot of times, especially if we're talking about the whole stereotypical thing, when a person first starts their business, whether they have a full-time job and they have a side hustle or they have a full-time business, it does not matter. When you're first getting started, the thing you're thinking about is, I gotta make money. That's all you're thinking about. So you're not thinking about all of the business development that has to happen in order to have the business. You're thinking, I make the best cupcakes. I'm about to sell these cupcakes. Here's somebody, go buy my cupcakes. You're not thinking about the name of your business. You're not thinking about the color. You're not thinking about who your niche. Who your target market should be, should you niche down? How do you get people to do business with you? You're not thinking about those things. You're thinking about, I make good cupcakes. So you have a product, but you haven't developed a business. And so that's when your operations fall. That's when you start getting feedback. I placed an order and I didn't get it back. There's this structure that has to go into business into actually developing a business that a lot of times we don't have, and we are judged so harshly because of it. And so that's what I want to use my time and energy and efforts and knowledge for at the Black Business School is really helping our businesses, people who have side hustles, people who want to get started to have good foundation for their business so that it can be developed and go out into the world and be profitable.
Yeah, and I think it's
Long
really
answer.
important. I think it's really important to know. It's okay. It's a great answer. I think it's really important to know that one of the philosophies that we have is that every Black family should have a family business. Everyone should be a business owner. But just because you're a business owner, that does not mean you're an entrepreneur. That does not mean you quit your job, walked out the door, and you're running a business full time. That you get in what you fit in. You fit it in the way that works for you. So remember this, you know the easiest way to become a business owner. Answer in the chat, everybody who knows anything about what we do here. What is the easiest way to become a business owner? If you want to become a business owner in 5 minutes, answer in the chat. What can you do to become a business owner in 5 minutes or less? Buy stock. Just buy, you can buy stock. I'm a business owner in Coinbase. But I don't know nothing. I didn't go to one single board meeting, or I spend no time in the corporate office. But when Coinbase makes money, I make money. Okay, so that's lower level. That's lower tier. That's business ownership. Now, you can also go deeper. Let's say that you're a person who has a job and you're making decent amounts of money, but you want that to go up. You want to be secure so you can have that extra $2,000 to $3,000 a month to put into your savings and your investments, build your capital base. Remember, we understand just from our conversations that a capital base, that's more important than a good job, more important than a college degree. Well, having the side hustle or forming something with either individually or with a group, which is more fun anyway, that can do that for you, right? So maybe getting together relatives, having financial conversations and saying, okay, what's a little side hustle we can pursue that's going to add a little bit of extra money to our bank account? Now, some of y'all just want to leave the corporate plantation altogether. You want to get out of there and just go. Well, I'm going to tell you, I visualize a world where no prepared Black person should ever have to work for anybody if they don't want to. And I say prepared, meaning that if you are a kid and your parent does something like the $5 a day plan for you, and you've got a quarter million liquid in your investment portfolio at the age of 25 or 26, you ain't got to work for nobody. Like, stop believing that you have to get a job. Ain't nobody got to get, people have to get jobs because nobody prepared for them financially. Now, because many of us are in that boat where unfortunately our parents did not know or did not have the opportunity to prepare the financial bed for us, well, it's a little bit tougher, right? So you might have to learn a new set of skills. But let me just tell you that just like there's money at your job, there's money outside of your job. There's money out there. There's money everywhere. So part of financial consciousness training is to help you see the money. So you say, oh, there's a dollar, there's $10, there's $100. You start grabbing the money. A lot of times what a job does is it gives you job vision, where the only place you see the money is in the job application. I don't want you to live like that because that is a that's constraining and very limiting, and it almost it becomes a type of slavery. So Dr. Javette, when her work launches in the Black Business School, she's our Dean of Entrepreneurship, by the way. When her program launches and everything else, I will let you all know. She's going to do a special event. That first one's going to be 100% free, and you can hang out with her there. And also, I want to share Dr. Javette's social media and everything else. Did you want to share some information on where folks can kind of follow you and connect, stuff like that?
Absolutely. So you can find me online on Instagram, Facebook, all the social medias. Everything is the same. I am Dr. Lanae Javette. So I am DrLaneeJavette. I saw a couple, first of all, let me just say I love the love of the Black Business School. You guys have been loving on me for many years. I appreciate you. I've seen you guys over in the chat. The Black Power Conference,
Yes.
the Black Business Weekend. I see the chat, so I see you guys over there just loving on me. I appreciate you guys. I love you back. Thank you so
Yes.
much. I appreciate the love and support of the Black Business School. You guys always love me really good over here, and I just want to make sure I give you guys the love back. I saw a couple of you guys were asking about the book. So the book you can get on Amazon. It's called Stripping to the Core. Stripping to the Core, a forward look back. You can get it on Amazon. I'm actually in the process of writing my second book right now, but that book, it was a labor of love. It was my first book I ever wrote. And so it's a lot of just real life stuff, like how you got to get to what you got to do, what you got to go through to get to where you want to be. But yeah, that's it. You can catch me on all the social media platforms. I am Dr. Lanae Javette, and you'll see me at the Black Business School going forward. So I'll be over there hanging out on a regular basis.
All right, all right. Now, a couple quick housekeeping items. Number one, I saw some of you. I didn't want to interrupt, Lene's discussion. So but I did see some of your comments. I know some of you are asking. You had questions about the Prime program, things like that. If you have a question about anything in the Black Business School, we have a great support team. You can email support@theblackbusinessschool.com. They can answer all of your questions. That's support@theblackbusinessschool.com. Someone also was asking, where can I get the recordings of all the money in the mornings? Well, there's dozens of them now because we do this every single day. If you want to get lifetime access to all the recordings, you can just go to drboycedaily.com. That's drboycedaily.com. And then also on Friday, we've got Andre's event that's going to happen. And then also D1, the hip hop artist, he's laying out his blueprint on how he was able to make a lot of money independently as an artist, as a businessman. So that's there. And then next week we're doing first share stock. And also last but not least, I'll be in Philadelphia if you want to come to the Get Money Fest. Jay Ortiz is hosting that, and it's going to be just a big fun thing, hip hop and art and everything else. And also they're blending in financial literacy. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. That's going to be in Philadelphia. If you want to join us there, you can go to getmoneyfest.com. That's getmoneyfest.com. And that's pretty much it, guys. So I'll see you all tomorrow morning. Bless you. I'll be in Philly. Sorry, I'll be in Philly May 18th. May 18th is the date. I think that's a sad. That should be a Saturday. So feel free to join us there. All right, guys. Well, have a good day, and we'll see you all tomorrow. And thank you very much, Lene. It was good to see you.
You
And
too.
we'll be back tomorrow morning. See you guys
Bye,
later.
everyone.
Bye bye.